Well, it is a privilege to be with you this morning and sharing the word from my home to your home. Today's message is called, What is in Your Hand? Let's pray just before we start. Lord, I just pray, Lord, your blessing on your word. That, Lord, we receive what it is you want to say to us. Lord, I pray what we receive goes with us beyond just here and now. But, Lord, helps us as we go forward with your gospel. That, Lord, what we receive helps us during lockdown, but, Lord, also will help us afterwards too. Amen. I'd like to start this morning with a reading from the book of Exodus. But before we get into the actual reading, I'd like to do a little bit of background to this passage that we're going to get to. Because this passage is about Moses. Now, Moses is a Hebrew. He is one of those who is in a nation that is currently at this time enslaved in Egypt. He was sent away as a baby to save his life. And he was found by Pharaoh's daughter in the river. And Pharaoh's daughter raised Moses as her own, yet he's nursed by his real mother. So Moses is in a very privileged position because he grows up in a royal palace. He grows up in a place of influence and power, but also he knows his heritage and the plight of his people. So growing up in such a place, you've got to imagine for Moses as he gets to 40 years old that he has this sense of destiny upon his life. And Moses felt that. He felt this call to help his oppressed people. And he was well positioned and well placed to be exactly the deliverer that his people needed him to be. But Moses messed up. He jumped the gun. He did it in his own steam. And he acted impulsively. Moses kills an Egyptian and finds himself fleeing in fear of his life. He suddenly finds himself in a very different position. All the influence, gone. All the power, gone. He seriously, seriously messed up. So instead, Moses now finds that he has to make a life for himself in Midian. A life as a shepherd. And he builds a life for himself. He has a wife, he has children, he has a job. You know, he's getting by. But those dreams of being the deliverer of his people, gone. He's gone from having everything at his disposal to having nothing left to work with. It is over. He is now just a shepherd. And for him, that's how it will end. Life as a shepherd. And then something extraordinary happens. Moses has an encounter with God. He sees a bush that's alight, but yet somehow doesn't burn. And God speaks to him through the bush. God gives Moses a mission. Go back to Egypt and deliver the people. See, God's people cried out, and God answered by coming to Moses and commissioning him with a job. The trouble is, Moses at this point, well, Moses has given in. Moses is having none of it. Moses was once in a position where he could have done this, but now Moses feels like he has nothing to offer. So I'm going to read from Exodus 4, verses 1 to 5. Then Moses answered, "But behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, 'The Lord did not appear to you.'" The Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" He said, "A staff." And he said, "Throw it on the ground." So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses ran from it. like you would. But the Lord said to Moses, put out your hand and catch it by the tail. So he put out his hand and he caught it. And it once again became a staff in his hand, that they might believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. So God comes to Moses with this mission, and Moses responds to God by giving God all the reasons why it's just not going to work. We're pretty good at that, people, aren't we? We're good at seeing the reasons why it won't work, or looking at what we don't have, or what it is we can't do. And when we do that, what is it that we're doing? I'll tell you what we're doing. We're forgetting that the one who asked us to do it is more than capable of using us, no matter who we are or what we have. So Moses complains. He says, they won't listen to me. They won't believe me. So what does God do? God asks Moses a very simple question. He says, what's that in your hand? Moses was holding his staff, his shepherd's staff. Although at his age, it probably is used as a walking stick as well. This piece of wood, all he's got. And it's just a piece of wood. And God essentially says to Moses, well, if that's what you have, that's what I'm going to use. And God then proves that point. He performs a miracle here and then with that staff. A miracle big enough that it should convince Moses. He turns the staff into a serpent. Now, that is not the sort of thing you tend to see on a day-to-day basis. He also performs another miracle with leprosy in Moses' hand, proving he is more than capable of doing anything. Now, now you'd think that would do the job, wouldn't you? But no. You'd think Moses would be convinced and fired up. But no. Moses still kicks back at God. So God is very clear with him. Exodus 4 verses 10 to 17. But Moses said to the Lord, oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant. But I am slow of speech and of tongue. Then the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. You'd think that would be enough, but no. But he said, oh my Lord, please send somebody else. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know he can speak well. Behold, he is coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you both what to do. He shall speak for you to the people, and he shall be your mouth, and you shall be as God to him. And take in your hand this staff, with which you shall do the signs. So Moses comes back at God and says, I can't speak properly. Now, there's been debate over the years as to what this means. Does it mean he had was short of tongue? Did he have a stammer? Or was he just really nervous and unable to speak and think on his feet? The answer to that is, I don't know. But it's one of those things. Either way, God's response to him is, I made your mouth. I'm more than capable of putting words into it. Okay, Moses, I'll get Aaron to come along, and I'll also tell him what to say through you. You have a staff? Okay, that's what I will work with. God said to Moses, the signs will happen with the staff. This staff, this simple piece of wood, was all God needed. This staff turns into a snake, Moses lifts this staff and he parts a sea. He hits a rock with this staff and water comes out of it. In the battle with the Amalekites, when that staff was held high, the battle went their way. Now, as a result of these things nowadays, this staff gets itself a lot of good press. All this staff it's a thing of a legend. In fact, in later Jewish legend, this staff was said to have been created at the beginning of the world, on the sixth day of creation. And it's been passed down through the hands of the major patriarchs and was inherited by Moses. Oh, there's something so special about this staff, which kinda misses the whole point. There was nothing special about the staff. It was a piece of wood. The point was, God will use whatever you have. Even if what you have is not very much, even if all you have is a walking stick, God will use that, because God is the one who moves. God is the one who breaks through. God is the one who transforms situations, not you. And if all you have is a stick, he will use it. See, God is not limited by what you have. Neither should you be. And today I want to ask you that very simple question. What is in your hand? See, we're currently in a very strange position, aren't we? Isolated from what we are used to being able to do. Locked down in all of our homes. We're being asked to stay at home to keep our distance from people. And it can feel like, as a church, sometimes our opportunities have become limited. Like Moses, he was once in that position of authority and influence, the sort of position you'd expect for a deliverer, and then he's an exile, a wanted man, no influence, no status. Moses would be excused, you'd think, for thinking he couldn't be used. How could God use someone in his circumstance? I wonder if you've ever felt a bit like that. Especially with the lockdown. All the things that as a church we have taken for granted, they're not even possible at the moment. We can't do street evangelism. We can't invite anyone to church to a meeting physically. We can't have our kids clubs, our youth clubs, our Oasis group. All of those face-to-face opportunities to witness have been taken away. How can God use us in this position? How can we do anything when we haven't got anything right now? Again, you'd be excused for thinking that you can't be used right now. But that also misses the point. Moses thought he had nothing to give, and God just says, "What's in your hand?" We say, "God, I haven't got this. I'm not able to do that. I'm not allowed to go there." And God doesn't reply with, "Fair enough, I'll find someone else, but thanks for thinking about it." He says, "What is in your hand?" Samson had the jawbone of an ass, and God used it to slay 1,000 men. All Ruth was able to do was to glean wheat from a field, which means she would pick up the leftover wheat after the paid workers have been in the field. But God was able to use that to position her, to save her family, and to put her in the line of the Messiah. David had a sling and some stones. The widow woman had just 2 mites, 2 tiny coins. Jesus said she'd given more than anybody. The unnamed boy had 5 loaves and 2 fish. You know, he would have been perfectly justified in thinking, "I won't offer this because Jesus can't use this." No way. Because it's not about what you do or don't have. It's not about what you can and can't do. It's about what God can do. Anybody can do something with a lot. But it's going to take faith and trust in God to accomplish things with little. The mistake we often make is we make decisions about obeying God and God's call based on what we think we have, rather than letting God show us what we do really have. Paul the Apostle finds himself in prison. You know, he'd moved from a place where he was able to go from city to city to city, setting up churches, teaching people, helping people, spreading the gospel, mentoring people, to no longer being able to go anywhere. Paul could no longer get into a synagogue and proclaim Jesus. He could no longer stand in a marketplace and preach the gospel. He was confined. He was limited. He had to stay in the house. Does that sound familiar? He had nothing but the people surrounding him and a pen. Well, a quill and a parchment, but you get the idea. That was all that was in his hand. And the result? The books of Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. Now, I want to get into comparing books of the Bible. But Ephesians and Philippians? That's some of the best ones. Paul could have gone into prison and thought, you know what? I have run a good race up to now. I've done a lot. Now I'm in prison. I'm confined. I guess that's it. I'm through. I'm past it. By the time I get out of here, what am I going to be able to do if I get out of here? Good thing there's other people out there. Good thing there's plenty of other good people who can take it on. No. Paul continued to encourage churches, writing to them, saying he'd love to be there in person. But for now, this will have to do. He wrote letters of encouragement, letters of guidance, and helped shape the church from his place of confinement. Imagine what Paul would have been like if Paul had Wi-Fi. Now, Paul didn't let what he could or couldn't do stop him in his calling. He's still reaching out to whoever he can, in whatever way he can. Listen to what he says in the letter to the Philippians. Philippians 4:22, he says, "All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household." Paul is connecting with people in the household of Nero Caesar. Be it his guards or somebody else, Paul is still managing some kind of face-to-face outreach and discipleship. They must have been reached by somebody, and Paul can only say they send their greetings if he's in some kind of communication with them. Paul had all the reasons in the world to say to God, "Well, I can't do this, and I can't do this, and I haven't got the ability to go there." But instead, he looked at what was in his hands and let God use that. Who can I still tell about Jesus? Who can I write to? What is in your hand? You see, at times like this, it's very easy for us to focus on what we can't do and what we don't have. I know. But even outside of this, we can do the same thing. I'm not spiritual enough. I'm not clever enough. I'm not strong enough. But we forget in 1 Corinthians 1:27, we're told, "But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong." See, we're in lockdown. We might not be able to speak to people up close, face to face. We can't run the youth in the way we normally would, or the children's work as a group. We can't have Oasis. We can't have face-to-face church meetings. We can't even meet somebody for a coffee and have a chat. Okay, that's what you don't have. But since when has God ever been hindered by what you don't have? Offer to God what is placed in your hand. Now, what is in your hand could mean a number of things. Could mean what's in your care, what's in your control. This could be your money, your possessions, your influence, your talents, your abilities. It could be a whole number of things. What is it you actually have in your hand? A few weeks ago, Karen placed her testimony online. And then together with Chris, Chris and Karen uploaded a song, or have done a few songs now, that have reached thousands of people. And that we know of, there have been two, maybe three, I think, people saved through them doing that. You see, they're confined to their home. They can't get out and do what they normally do. So they've said, what gift do we have that we can use? And they put it out there, and God did the rest. See, we can look at what they've done and think, yeah, that's great. I can't do that either. No, neither can I. I think if I put a video of me singing out there, it might have the opposite effect. Then what is it you can do? Because it's not about you, it's about him working through you. What are you still able to do from where you are? Give it to God, and God can use it. Zechariah 4:6 says, it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. That's true out of lockdown, it's also true in lockdown. This is a time for us to start asking not what can I not do, but what can God do with what I've got? Find windows of opportunity for your gift. Ways to have your story and your witness shared with people. See, we may be limited physically in place, but look, you're able to watch this. That means you're not limited digitally. We may not be able to meet together in the physical, but we are meeting together in this arena. The church is still able to exist even when we are confined. The church is still able to reach people even when we are confined, and so are you. This time could well be one of the best opportunities that we have ever had in our lifetime. Across the world, people are more open to the gospel than they have been in a generation. People are dealing with facing eternity, because the fact that we are all going to die is currently something you can't deny or hide from or pretend's not going to happen one day. See, Moses wanted to hold back, thinking he couldn't do it. Let me tell you that some of us have held back for years. Even before the lockdown, looking at the things we can't do and the things we don't have, and giving God those as reasons why we can't go, forgetting God will work with whatever you have. I know of one person during this lockdown who's been standing on their front doorstep, sharing the gospel with people who walk past their house and their neighbours. Now, I've got to say, that takes guts, doesn't it? And you might look at that and go, well, I'm not able to do that. Am I somehow lesser? No, it's not a question of us all being the same. It's a question of serving with what's in your hand. If you can't do that, that's fine. But what can you do? See, we're all holding on to something that in God's hands can part a sea in the spiritual world. God can use you. Yes. You. You who's watching there who just thought, well, not me. Yes. You. See, often as Christians we're unfruitful because we believe we're not qualified to do what God has called us to do. And we keep looking for something that will help us feel like we are able. But that's usually something we don't have right now. And it's usually something we don't have until we actually set out and do it. Let me tell you, Satan does not fear the Christian who finds reasons to do nothing. He does not worry about your skill level. because your skill level's never been the issue. Satan is not concerned about your skill level, but your faith level. Those who shake hell are those who are willing to trust God and move regardless of their own ability. See, we are in self-isolation at the moment, but for some, that's done nothing to affect your witness because your testimony has been social distancing for years. If you treat the gospel like a virus and isolate it, then it doesn't spread. The devil does not worry about Christians who are not carriers. When it comes to the gospel, be a super spreader. Infect everybody you come with. And I hope that's not bad taste. For years we've told ourselves we don't have what it takes, and God is asking us, what is in your hand? Moses didn't think he was good enough. But here's the point. He wasn't. Guess what? Neither are you. When we trust God, though, we step out with what little we have. It's God who can change the world through us. Don't look at what you don't have. Don't look at what you've currently lost. Look at what you do. Look at who you have. Now, you might be watching today and thinking you've got nothing that God can work with. Maybe today you're watching and you've never even given him your life because you suspect that if you offer it, he won't want it. Because your life's been too bad. You've messed up. You feel like you've got nothing to offer him. Well, I've got some good news. He can work with that as well. God can change the nation, the fate of a nation, with one man and a stick. Listen, if you think you're too broken for God to use you, listen to this from the book of Psalms. Psalm 51, verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. If all you have is brokenness, that's good enough for him to do the greatest miracle in the world. And that's the miracle of salvation. See, it's not about you becoming good enough. There's only one who was ever good enough, and that was Jesus. Jesus took your sin and took your mistakes on himself because he's the only one who could. Jesus died because none of us are good enough. None are righteous, the Bible says. But because of the sacrifice Jesus made, we can become part of his righteousness. Jesus can use nothing just as much as he can use something. See, only the unworthy can come to Jesus because, well, first of all, we're all unworthy. But second of all, it's realizing you're unworthy that brings you to him in the first place. Because that's when we see our need for him. You might think today that you are nothing. That's not how he sees you. God looked at that staff. He didn't just see a piece of wood. He saw a sea part. Even if you think you're absolutely nothing, God has always been in the business of making something out of nothing. What is in your hand? Give it to him. Whatever your gifting, whatever your ability, because in his hands a stick can perform miracles. This week, first of all, I'll speak to you as the church. Take a step of faith. Take what little you have, or what little you can do, and send it out there, and see what God can do with it. Secondly, to those of you who don't know him, and who've not given him your life, You may think you have nothing to offer. That's okay. It's not about what you offer. It's about what he's already offered. He's offered you a fresh start. He's offered you forgiveness. And he's offered you a brand new life. God is in the business of making something out of nothing. There's no situation too desperate. There's no situation too hard that God can't turn around. So let me just close with that question. What is in your hand? God bless you.